Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here. This Black Friday, Mars Pharmacy is making wellness simple, and the savings are seriously impressive. It's the perfect time to look after your health from the inside out, starting with 25% off Simproof, the award-winning water-based supplement packed with billions of live and active bacteria to support gut balance, digestion, and immunity. Because a healthy gut really does mean a healthier you. You can also save up to 35% on Zuki's liposomal vitamins, from collagen to vitamin C. They're your daily boost for glowing skin and immune support. And if you're plant-based, there's 25% off Dr. Vegan, bringing clean, effective nutrition with zero compromise. From gut health to glowing skin, Mars has everything you need to feel your best this winter. Shop these Black Friday wellness deals and more in-store or online now at mars.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
How often do you check your phone every day? Is it in your hand right now? Have you gone for one last scroll as I've said that? Dr. Claire Moriarty has picked up on our habits and is asking the question of whether we are actually phone zombies. And Dr. Claire is a visiting research fellow at TCD's Long Room Hub. She joins us now. Hello.
Hi, Camilla.
What is a phone zombie, first of all, by your definition?
Almost everyone, I'm worried at this point.
Great.
Including cool. Myself, I should say. Yeah.
You left your phone downstairs, though, as you had the right idea. My phone is next to me. I will say I'm obviously not using it because I'm so committed to my job. But from reading this brief and learning about what you're doing, I just became so conscious of how often I'm checking my phone, how often it's in my hand. I'm sure my family are listening to this saying, oh, we don't need research. We know from looking at you. Why are we on our phones so much now?
I'm not sure. I think it's very difficult not to be on them all the time. So the more I think about it, the way I do better on not being on it all the time involves kind of imposing these difficult habits on myself. Like I was saying in the article, I leave the phone up beside the bed in the morning to go down, and my kids get up very early and we do all our nice connection time in the morning, and not having my phone really benefits me there. But then I remember that all of the homework happens through an app these days and I'm sort of trotting back upstairs to get it again to do that. So I think it's become more difficult than ever as expectations of people being kind of continually available have just increased and increased. So I think it's not just that you're an addict, Vanilla.
Was it at home that you started making these observations, or was it just out and about and you were noticing, I mean, the fact that we just cannot put them down? You walk anywhere and people are on their phones doing something, talking, texting, maps, whatever.
I had about three incidents in a row in 1 week where I thought it kind of pushed me towards thinking about it as a real bit of a social emergency. So the first is I was just cycling with the kids on the bike through the lights at the front, and the first five cars I passed, every single person was bowed down into their lap with their phone. So, I mean, we could talk about the safety issues of that, but it just seems so weird that we're so beholden to it that we don't even care what it looks like, that we're just sitting in our cars staring down into our laps. The second was I had my daughter loves coming into work, like into Trinity on the Lewis. So we were there and she turned around to me, she's five, and said, can I have a phone? I was like, Jesus, why are you asking that? And then I look around and literally everyone around us is peered down into a phone. I'm like, okay, I get it. And then I had a really nice exchange on the bus recently where a young lad was with additional needs on the bus and he was roaring, singing to Evanescence, which I think I recognised because a teenage boyfriend of mine loved them.
Banger.
I sort of asked him. I mean, like, they've got hits.
Yeah.
So I said, is that Evanescence? And I had this great chat with him and then he was showing me all, it's a K-pop Demon Hunters. He was showing some videos he'd made at the gym, banging K-pop Video Hunters. So this is a really nice exchange. And again, looking around, everybody else is missing out on this opportunity because they have just kind of divorced themselves from the kind of the public sphere. They're not looking, they're not paying attention to anyone around them. I do it too. I'm not going to be that person who pretends I don't try and get a shop done on the way in. I don't want to do a crossword or want to do much less noble things than crosswords. But we just need to fight against it, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I feel like we're really losing, as you said, those kind of instances of the casual chats, the chance meetings. It kind of doesn't happen anymore. Does it have our phones completely eliminated that?
I don't know. I think often when I'm going out with young kids, you find your back plugged into the world of the people who aren't looking into their phones. You have these nice interactions with other people. Often it's older people or other people looking after kids where it's really a bit more of a hazard to be using the phone. And it is a nice reminder of how pleasant just low stakes casual chat with people around you can be, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder, is it impacting our ability to make small talk as well? Because those interactions are now more limited. When we do have them, we kind of find ourselves scrambling for the words and things to say because we're so invested in the little black screen in our hands and in our pockets.
Definitely. And I think there's good studies to show that it's doing really bad things to our attention levels and our literacy and numeracy. So I'm sure that transfers into normal conversational stuff too. But I think at the higher risk end of things, a lot of our systems are designed around the idea that people are paying attention. Mm. So we think of frail older people getting onto public transport. There's very few people, I think, in Ireland who willfully ignore the presence of an older person who needs to sit down and continue to sit. But if you're not looking around, that kind of opportunity to be decent to one another is not there.
Yeah.
So it's not that there's any ill will or malevolence involved. It's that people are just kind of opting out of their surroundings in a way that I think has terrible consequences for normal social functioning.
Yeah, they just don't realise. It's not just out and about, though. We're bad in our homes as well. Like parents, partners, whatever. You mentioned those examples with your kids. But like, I'm sure there are couples listening or parts of couples we're getting texts in that are kind of confirming that, where they're struggling with the other partner constantly being on their phone.
Just got to be judgmental eye contact. I don't know. Or just say, like, why don't we do this? We'll both leave the phone upstairs and or we'll leave the phone on the kitchen table when we go to. Because if people be watching telly and then scrolling through some other videos at the same time. And I think when you do reflect on it, you're like, this is a really weird way to divide my attention in my rest time, you know, between two different competing channels of often nonsense.
Yeah, I will say this piece is really pointing a mirror back at myself, and I'm not sure I like what I'm seeing, because even we're going through it and these examples, meal times as well, it's something I'm guilty of, where it's just kind of, because it's such a muscle memory thing, it's in my hand, so it goes next to my plate, and I might not be looking at it through the whole meal, but I'm picking it up and I'm checking. Like, what can be that important that you couldn't sit down with your dinner and finish your dinner, you know?
Nothing. And I bet if we all, well, I think it's a generational thing as well. There's lots of generations who aren't as bad at this probably as ours, and you're a bit younger than me, so I don't want to throw you into mine. But I think if we could all see like a highlights reel of our worst phone usage moments of the day, we'd probably be pretty embarrassed about it.
Oh my God, like this is your life, but it's just hours and hours of you looking at your phone. That's horrifying. Maybe we should do that. Yeah. That would fully shake me away.
Shame-based learning.
Truly, yeah. What can we do to avoid it then? Like what, because it's a lot of doom and gloom here and we want solutions. What can we do? You've talked about physical barriers and stuff like that, but is there anything else that we can do?
I think the thing that's really changed when I think about why it's so addictive and why it's so hard to disconnect, it's that the expectations of us are like this. So when I think about my creche, my kids' school, like there is an expectation that I will pick up a phone call at any time. I will be there to collect in 20 minutes if somebody's not feeling well or whatever. I'm not saying we shouldn't be honouring those obligations, but I think to try and mitigate some of the expectations, at least socially, of our friends, to try and normalise not apologising for not getting back to somebody within 45 minutes, to not kind of buy into this idea that we should all be just completely available constantly to one another, and to push back where we can. I think another thing is that when we ask ourselves how our predecessors generationally, so like I'm thinking of my mom's generation now, how they managed to get all the stuff that needed to be done without it, because phones are supposed to be giving us so much efficiency or whatever. Maybe they just didn't do quite as much, or there was a little bit less nonsense built into their routine. So maybe the other thing is a bit deconsumerist. So the idea of, maybe do you need to be buying that present for that person? Do you need to be doing another shop? Would it just be better to go on your lunch and do it? Do you know what I mean? I think it's maybe trying to kind of cut some of the fat out of the routines we've all gotten into, where everything is kind of done at 100%, you know, try and normalise a little bit more of a beta approach there.
Yeah, let's the Luddite approach, guys. Let's all go back to ground, I think. Dr. Claire Moriarty, Visiting Research Fellow at TCD's Longroom Hub, thank you so much for that. Huge reaction, needless to say, from one texter. My husband is constantly on his phone. It seems there are always match scores to check or WhatsApps to send. It drives me mad. I find he never watches TV without it, and means that if we're trying to watch a programme, he ends up completely distracted again. Another thing that I'm a, it's just, and I feel sorry for my poor husband. I don't often, but we recently started Love Hate, and there's been a couple of times where he's had to be like, stop checking your phone, get off your phone. You're missing this big scene. Get off your phone. Another texter, I feel sorry for older people who might want company and a chat, but look around and find that everyone has headphones in completely. It's just a sad reality, I think. My screen time is 6 hours a day. I work full time and have a busy social life. I was shocked, but feel like I can't reduce it. Everything is on our phones and they are so addictive. I mean, even when you look at the social media apps, not all of them, but some of them, a lot of them won't have the built-in clocks so that you are kept in there, so you're not aware of time. It's all go, so you could lose, honestly, I dread to think the time that I've succumbed to social media, and it's my job and the difficulties and stuff like that. But those boundaries sometimes, they can just be so hard. Someone just said, love this conversation. Totally agree. If you go out for dinner and the other person goes to the toilet, you always end up checking your phone. We really can't sit and do 2 minutes on our own. Most people bring it with them to the toilet as well. Again, I'm feeling very attacked, but maybe this is what I need to shake me out of it. So another text in, I genuinely think I need to go to rehab for my phone addiction. Also something I've previously searched before. Oh my God. Another texter. I would love to delete WhatsApp and Instagram as I find they take up so much of my time, but I need them to keep in touch with my friends. It is a vicious circle. Yeah, I found that as well. I have some friends who are not on social media, and sometimes I find I just don't know what's going on with them, and it's really tricky. And but by the other token, then when I do see them, I mean, it's great. We get a good catch up. It's lovely to see them get the FaceTime and stuff like that. It's fab, but it's hard. I am a phone zombie. Phone Zombies Anonymous. We're here now, and I'm with you all texters who are on the same side as me. It's hard, guys. It's hard.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here. We talk a lot about health, but your gut is where it all begins. A balanced gut can improve everything from your digestion and energy to your immune system and even your mood. That's why Simproof, Ireland's number one for gut health, is such a game changer. And right now, for Black Friday, you can get 25% off their live and active bacteria supplement. Each daily shot is packed with billions of friendly bacteria that actually reach your gut alive and start working to restore balance where it matters most. No capsules, no powders, just a refreshing, water-based drink in 4 great flavours. Take it first thing each morning, 10 minutes before food or drink, and start feeling the difference. A healthy gut supports your whole body, so don't miss 25% off Simproof's 12 and 4-week programmes now at simproof.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.